So once again, we hear the gospel story of the empty tomb. I know there are some people in this room today who it's like, gosh, every time I go to church, I hear that same exact story. Well, that's probably, just so you know, we do this every week, so come on and join us next week. And you know, every Sunday, we're open, okay? But anyway, when you're tasked with this Easter sermon task, what is there that I could say that's any newer than what I said before, right? When we hear about this story of the empty tomb in John, we also get a resurrection appearance, right? It ends with Mary Magdalene actually having a conversation with Jesus, right? So what is this? Is it tragedy or is this comedy? This reminds me of a joke. Have you heard this one? Joseph of Arimathea, you know that guy, right? He was the one who loaned his tomb to Jesus. His friends asked him why he would give up his brand new tomb to this guy from Nazareth that was crucified by the Romans. He said to them, "Well, it made sense to me. I knew he'd only need it for the weekend." What looks like tragedy could actually be comedy. We don't know. Now, I know and you know that death isn't funny, right? And violent death, especially death on a cross, the kind that Jesus suffered, yeah, that's nowhere near funny, right? But death is just so ubiquitous today, right? Death is what makes the news, and many people get their entertainment from television shows and movies that feature blood and gore. Violence is so prevalent in our news feeds that if we're not already sobered up when the bad news comes on, that whenever the topic does come up, it gets us down. We live in a world where our lives intersect with terrorism daily, and every day on the news we hear about another mass shooting, right? They never fail to find their way as our lead story for the day. It seems like death has the last word all over the map. Do you realize the degree to which death seems to set our agenda? Yeah, death seems to always win. Death even rules our actions, and you know what? We're not even aware of that. Death has us do very stupid things. Now, my most favorite rom-com, that's romantic comedy for those of you who are over 60, my second favorite is Moonstruck, okay? There's a scene from Moonstruck that Olympia Dukakis, she won a Best Supporting Actress Oscar. There's a scene in it where she has this epiphany of sorts, and it comes from an unlikely source. She's eating with her future would-be son-in-law, and she had just found out that her husband was cheating on her. And she asks him, "Why would a man need more than one woman?" And he blurts out, "Because he fears death?" And she says, "That's it." And he's like, "I don't know. I'm just throwing out, I don't know." And she said, "No, that's it. Thank you for answering my question." Yeah, that's it. Death, the fear of death, the disdain of death, the avoidance of death is so strong in our society that we'll do stupid things because death's just how we are, and we're not even conscious to it. We don't realize that we're doing things all the time that hurt other people because all we're doing is managing our personal fear of death. Right? But this is Easter. We have this big, you know, celebration of the resurrection. And resurrection is when the mask of the folly of death and the failure of violence is removed. Death doesn't have to have the final word anymore. In the resurrection of Jesus, we are given a foretaste of what is to come, as well as for hope in the present. And it gives us hope that means we can get our self-protective, we can get out of our self-protective bunkers to open our hearts and to open our minds. What the resurrection teaches us is that because of Jesus dying and rising again, there is a dramatic shift, a tremendous power that's being released into the world that means life will never, ever again be the same. It means that what looks bad doesn't have to be bad. Doesn't have to be. Death is not something to fear. We got to respect it. We got to respect death. We can't just do stupid things, tempting death, but we got to respect it. There's no such thing as the same old, same old. You know what it doesn't mean? Have you ever heard people say this? Oh, anything is possible. No, it's not. Art, you will never, ever birth a baby. Never. That's not going to happen. Sarah, you're never going to be the Queen of England. Never. I'm sorry. Anything is not possible. But what does happen is that all of life is transformed. What there is to get is that there is an inherent ambiguity to the human condition and to everything that happens. Things don't automatically mean this or that. All the places where we've given up, all the places where we've cashed in our chips, all the places in our lives where we said, well, the heck with that, all of that has new life, it has new hope. And this is the possibility of transformation. And in our daily lives, you know what? We don't have to look to political demagogues, okay? We don't have to put our faith in partisan powers that claim to only have the answer to whatever that problem is. We don't have to go down that ideological rabbit hole that demonizes anyone who opposes our viewpoint. We can keep our trust in God. We can stay level-headed and not put our faith in those pursuers of power who appeal to our false selves. We are the church in and for the world. The gathering of those who have faith and hope are the physical manifestation of our resurrected Lord. Fear no longer has to be the primary motivational force in our lives. We can actually be conscious for a change. That's what it means. This is the significance of the resurrection. Life will never be the same again. And look, the belief in resurrection does not mean that we're not going to have bad days. Bad days are going to happen. The resurrection doesn't mean that we're all going to live a charmed life like, oh yeah, we're all going to be rich. The resurrection doesn't mean that finally the bad people are going to get their comeuppance and I can rest easy and say, well, they'll get theirs. That doesn't mean that. What is altered is our human experience of those same exact circumstances. That's it. The power to transform them is cracked open, and it's available to us. The circumstances of life, they're still going to happen. Life will still life you. Yeah, life is going to have its ups and downs. Yeah, life is going to kill you. We know how this ends. Right? But our experience of it, that's what's never going to be the same. That's what's transformed. And this is the basic reality of the Christian's experience of life. Yes, how you experience life is now fundamentally altered. There's always hope. There's always a place of celebration. It's in the essence of March Madness and all that, the basketball tournament and stuff like that. This is the greatest upset of all time. You know how this plays itself out? It means that we have room now to look for the value in other people, and even those people who don't look like us, even those we may disagree with, we can stop killing people off in our minds. We have room now to open our hearts to even those who don't carry the same political label as we do, even with those we don't want to be around, even with those we don't like, and we know who those are. There's now the possibility of connection that spans the differences of ideology, because what is possible now is transformation. The pissy present is not a portent. Yeah? You can quote me on that one. The pissy present is not a portent. Death does not rule the day. On the contrary, death is actually, if you think about it, it's eminently mockable. Yes, in the resurrection, God has made a mockery of death. The resurrection of Jesus even gives us permission to laugh at death. Now, this does not mean that we don't feel bad when death happens. Yeah, that's a part of the human experience. But it does mean that death has lost control of our lives. Death, far from being the final act, as it turns out, is only a foil. It's only a prelude. The real ending, the comedic surprise, the happy ending is life and resurrection. And in our day-to-day life, we see put out there all the falsehoods of this age, and we hear the not that, and then here we are saying, no, but that. One of my favorite Woody Allen movies is Love and Death. Anybody seen Love and Death? It's an old one. Oh, Clint's seen it. Oh, good. I love this movie because one of the things that's enjoyable about it is that after he's executed, okay, he's dead. You hear him do a monologue, and then he's dancing down this lane of trees with jaunty music, and what is he doing? He's dancing with the Grim Reaper. Dancing with the Grim Reaper. So the Grim Reaper, that the presence that comes at our death, you know, not something to be feared. Guess what, folks? The Grim Reaper has all of us on his death card, on his dance card. And guess what? We're all on that card. Dancing with the Grim Reaper. This is what we get to do, folks. So enjoy it. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.